And then here it is, verse 4. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Wouldn't that be awesome that you come to church at one point in time, whether a Sunday morning or a Sunday night like tonight, or whenever you show up at the church house, and all people get on their face and they cry out to God and they say, oh man, this is no longer about us. This is about you. Man, we're going to win the loss at any cost. The war is not in here. The war is out there. The victory is not won in here. The victory is won out there. The lost people need Jesus, and they get on their face and you cry out, and wouldn't it be awesome as you're crying out to God just to empty us of us? Oh, that the place literally begins to shake.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hi, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Our fervent prayer today is that God is going to speak to your heart in a very profound way through His Word. And so let's take our Bibles together right now. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, looking at verses 23 through 32, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Shaken for God's Glory.
You see what's going on. This slow fade is going to morph into, I promise you, at some point, in a country that was undeniably founded on the great God of the Bible, you're going to see that we've come full circle. And there's going to be a forbidding at some point in our future to speak the name of Jesus, I believe, even in churches. We see what happened in our culture today. You go to a ball game, you can't say the name Jesus. You know, you take Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. You know, they're looking at taking the name of God and God we trust off of our coinage and our currency. They're saying, look, we need to remove this from the Pledge of Allegiance, that we're not one nation under God. And yet the framers were very clear that we are, we still are. This has not changed. I don't care what people are trying to do. This has not changed. We are still one nation under the great God of the Bible. And we need some bold men and women to rise up and start living for the King. Satan will eat us for lunch if we try this on our own. But my God will eat him for lunch as we fall at my God's feet and cry out to him in humble, unwavering dependence. See, this is so pivotal as we think through this church family today. But think about the second part of this text here. It says this, the place where they assembled together was shaken. That word shaken in the Greek language means this, to agitate, to even rock. Kind of picture rocking back and forth. This being shaken can have a negative connotation, but in this connotation, this was very positive. That they had prayed number one first, and then what happened was that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, began to shake the place they were in. And I don't know about you, but man, I want to be in the place where God's doing some shaking. I want to be in the place where God's working, where God's moving, where in the midst of darkness that there's light, that we want to be a people that is ministering to people and discipling people in such a way that when these people begin to see Christ for who He is, that we can look back at their life and say, oh look, they were turned from darkness to light. They were turned from the power of Satan to the power of God. All things have become new because they've had an intimate, personal encounter with Jesus the Christ. We need some shaking, amen? Therefore, key number two is this. Write this down. God will shake my foundation for His glory when I commune with Him in prayer. Let me read that again. God will shake my foundation for His glory when I commune with Him in prayer. I'll tell you what, this is great stuff in God's Word, because when you look through this and you think through this thought process, and I know there are people out there that go, you know, if I just give my life to God, if I surrender to Christ, if I come under His blood and His righteousness, He's going to wreck my life. Well, that's the point. That is the point. That through your lens, through my lens, we view it as being wrecked because we're thinking, well, I can no longer go and do these sins, and I no longer go over here and do this or do that. Here's the deal. When you truly are under the blood of Jesus Christ, you therefore became a new creation. All things become new, that the old has been put off and the new has been put on, and therefore there's not the desire to go do those things anymore. Your life has been repaired. Your life has been restored. Your life has been resurrected. Your life has been revived. Your life has been awakened. Therefore, we need God to shake our foundation. Because our comfort and our wealth in the United States of America has led to our collapse. And what happens is over time, Satan just lulls us into an apathy and indifference where the hunger is not there anymore for God, His glory, His Word. It's just so easy to be in cruise control. It's so easy to just not care. It's so easy to go, you know what, this is just the way that things are. No, this is not how things should be. Therefore, we need God to shake our foundations. Remember I read a text to you from Isaiah 6, and I want to read just four verses from that same text because I want you to get this visual of the shaking. Isaiah 6, write it down, 1-4. Isaiah 6, 1-4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Now, just that alone is amazing, isn't it? That you're picturing the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? Man, we praise God's name this morning. We lifted Him high. He's our shield, amen? And the train of His robe. Remember, we talked about that, that when the conquering king would defeat the other king, they'd cut off a part of the defeated king's robe. They would sew it on to the victor king's robe, and he would have a long train. The train of the robe of the Lord filled the temple. That's a really long train, amen? Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And then here it is, verse 4. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Wouldn't that be awesome that you come to church at one point in time, whether a Sunday morning or a Sunday night like tonight, or whenever you show up in the church house, and all the people get on their face and they cry out to God and they say, "Oh man, this is no longer about us. This is about You. Man, we're going to win the loss at any cost. The war is not in here. The war is out there. The victory is not won in here. The victory is won out there. The lost people need Jesus." And they get on their face and to cry out, and wouldn't it be awesome as you're crying out to God just to empty us of us? Oh, that the place literally begins to shake. Wouldn't that be awesome? That literally this building would begin to shake. That it would shake for God's glory. That it be transformed into a beacon and a lighthouse here in Tampa, and that all the people around this building would begin to see there's hope. There's hope inside this building, not because of me, not because of you, but because of Jesus, who is our Lord. I'll tell you what, I crave to be involved in God shaking us, amen? Because when He shakes us, it hurts. There's pruning. There's pain in that offering. But when He shakes us, He makes us into something that we could never hope, dream, or imagine as we decrease and He increases. The third part says this, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, I want to make a disclaimer here to make sure we're understanding hermeneutically what this means. This filling of the Holy Spirit has been, unfortunately, misguided. There are two concepts I want you to write down. Number one is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Write that down. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Indwelling. Indwelling means this in the original language, to take up residence. To live in. Now, beside that, I want you to write down this key text. John 14, 16 through 17. Now, this is mission critical because if we're going to win the lost, we need to know God's Word correctly, right? So first, we're not talking about filling, we're talking about indwelling, okay? There's a difference. John 14, 16 through 17 says this, "And I will pray the Father," Jesus is speaking, "and He will give you another helper." Paraclete or parakletos in this particular version, that literally is a come alongsider, the helper, the counselor, if you will. "And He will give you another helper," capital H, "that He," capital H, "may abide with you," what's it say? "Forever. The Spirit," capital S, "of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him," capital H, "nor knows Him," capital H, "but you know Him," capital H, "for He," capital H, "dwells within you and will be in you as well." Praise be to God. Amen. Are we getting this? It's really simple. The world cannot know Him because Jesus sends Him to true believers. That's what's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when you're a true believer, what does it say in this text? How long does the Holy Spirit reside in you? Does it say? Forever. Forever. I mean, you guys are good. You're sharp. That's the indwelling. Now, the filling's different. Now, we've got to be careful, though, because, again, what's going on out there in religious circles, you know, this isn't referred to, you know, religious gymnastics, running around the room, cartwheels, etc., okay? Listen closely. Here it is, the filling, okay? Write this verse down. Ephesians 5:18. This word "filled" in the Greek means this. It means to make full, but it gives this connotation. Now listen, it gives the connotation of being not just only filled by or filled with, but also under the control of. Okay, are we getting this? There's an indwelling for the true believer that Jesus, remember when he's like, "Look, I gotta go. I got stuff I got to do, guys. I'm going to leave you here," Acts 1, right? "I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to leave you, though, with the Helper. He's going to indwell you." John 14, we just read it. That's Jesus speaking. But then we go to another point here where there's this filling that we're talking about here. And the filling means, when you really drill down, being under the control of. Now, here's the deal. Give me an example. I'll tell you what. You go out on Dale Mabry on Friday night at 5 o'clock, and you will borderline become an atheist, amen? You know what I mean? I mean, can we just get kind of honest together here? I mean, there are some times, right? Come on, we're in church, don't lie. Where you know, that guy with a Methodist bumper sticker cuts you off, and there's not a whole lot of filling of the Holy Spirit, amen? Come on now, get real. Keep it real now. Just keep it real. Right? Come on now. I'm watching a few of you go. But I can tell you're wanting to go. You're a believer. It's true. He's in you. Praise God. But there's some times where the filling is not what it should be. Because our flesh, Paul even says it, "Why do I do the things I don't want to do?" Why? Paul, right? Jesus, Paul was way up on the food chain, right? And yet here he is humbly saying, why is I doing the things I don't want to do? So here's the deal. We'll look at the next verse. Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled, controlled with the Spirit. Okay? Now here's the deal. You got to understand this because, you know, you look at Ephesians 4:30, and it says this, and do not grieve or make sorrowful the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. You were marked. You were authenticated as real. See, we can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we could actually quench the Holy Spirit. Quenching does not mean that we're removing, because we go back to John, right? And if we're a true believer in Christ, He's with us forever. But what we can do, if we're not careful, if we're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, if we're filling our mind with nonsense, if we're looking at things we shouldn't be looking at, reading stuff we shouldn't be reading, doing whatever that's not of God, we are suppressing the Holy Spirit. The whole point is to be walking in step with God as we're praying, as we're depending on Him. Therefore, we're free-flowing for Him, that we may be used by Him, in Him, through Him, and beyond Him. Amen? That as He does a work, that He would just take our lives and we would just say like Mary. Remember Mary last week? Mary, Mother of Jesus. Remember where she went from asking, how can it be, to then insisting, let it be. Mary went from asking, how can this be? But she didn't stay there. She communed and she was there and understood not only how can it be is a good question, but she didn't park it there. She moved from how can it be to insisting, oh, let it be according to your words. And so here they are, Peter and the group, and they have been praying. They're now filled as the place was first shaken. And lastly, what happens? Here it is. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke. It literally, again, to utter is that word there as well. But the word, the logos, the word of God, theos. So you put this together from grammatically in the Greek, that they uttered the logos, the theos, the word of God with great, ferocious, fearless confidence. Now, are you following the train on this? They prayed, number one. God shook their foundations, number two. They were walking in step, so they were filled. They were obeying as the Holy Spirit is leading. And the byproduct there is now a fearless confidence to speak God's Word. Do you see how this works? See, God's Word is so wonderful. A child can understand this. This is not rocket science. This is not real high off the tree, per se. But man, we miss this. Because it all starts in your life with prayer. If you're not communing with God today, you can attend church 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you're missing God. It's about communing with Him and laying your will at His feet and embracing His will that He gives you. That's hard, isn't it? Because, man, when we got our plan and our agenda, man, we don't want to give up on that, do we? Man, we'll fight to the death over our agenda. When Jesus got brutally executed for God's agenda. This is so critical. I hope we're hearing God's Word today, and I hope we're being transformed by it. That if your church and your life and your home and your family is not anchored in prayer, your church, your home, and your family is going nowhere. You're just going to go in circles is all you're going to do. Now, the opposite is equally true. When your church and your family and your home are anchored in prayer to the great God of the Bible, watch out. He's going to rock your world and shake your foundation for His praise and His glory. See, this is so critical that we understand this. Four quick things here as I prepare to close. Four quick things. Write these down. How do I be under the control of the Holy Spirit? Very, very, very simple. Number one, constant, fervent prayer to God. Constant, fervent prayer to God. Constant. It says pray without ceasing. It's constant, fervent prayer to God. Number two, constant, fervent reading of God's Word. Constant, fervent reading of God's Word. You go, man, I don't have time because, I got to watch this sitcom at 8:30. Turn off that nonsense and get in God's Word. You fill your mind with that garbage and you'll begin to act like that garbage. Number three, constant, fervent meditation on God's Word. I can read it all day long and it'll go in one ear and out the other. But man, when I'm meditating on it, man, I meditate. I thank God we bind your truth around my heart. Will you write your truth on the tablet of my heart? And when God does that, His Word tells us we will be like a tree, that the roots are deep, that when the storms of life come, that we are planted by the rivers of living water. Fourth and lastly, constant, fervent obedience to God. Jesus said this. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking. He's like, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I ask you to do? I mean, think through that. What is a Lord? A Lord's a master, right? If I'm working for someone, he's my employer, and he goes, here, John, go make this widget. And I'm like, I don't want to go make this widget. Go make this widget. I don't want to go make this widget. I'm living in rebellion, and what's going to happen is going to be great consequences. Jesus is our Lord. He's our master. We are, again, those willing vessels that say, we want to be this. We want to be this. We want to live for the King. We want to be bold for Him. We want to make a difference. Don't you want to live to be missed? Therefore, the linchpin in this is that there's obedience. Because we can pray, we can petition, we can hear God's Word. We can then also read God's Word. We can even meditate on it. But if we are hearers of the Word only and not doers, God's Word says this, we are deceiving ourselves. We are living under deception. Man, we love Jesus, man. We pray, we read His Word, we meditate. Hey, man, what's God doing in your life? How's He working? How's He moving you? How's He showing His glory? What's He asking you to do? I don't have a clue. Minor issue, you're living in disobedience. The bow is wrapped up on this, so to speak, by obedience that gives evidence of the true conversion. There's nothing we can do. It's by grace. It's charis, unmerited favor. There's nothing you can do today to save yourself. I can't save it. You can't save you. It's only through the righteousness and blood of Christ. But I do know this, that when it's real, even though we're not perfect, we will live a life that shows we've been changed. Therefore, you want God to transform your home? I mean, do you? You want God to transform your church? You want God to transform your life? Then pray. Then fervently get on your face tonight and pray. I mean, gather here tonight at any and all costs and pray. And pray. And pray, and pray some more. Because there is nothing that I or you can do that will accomplish the task that God has called us to. But when we're communing intimately with Him through prayer, all things are possible. Final thought. It is absolutely impossible to partially surrender to Jesus. We got a lot of people running around who are professing the name of Jesus who are actually partially surrendered. And you can't do it. I mean, can you imagine that you're in combat and someone puts up a partial white flag? It's insane. And yet we have multitudes of people, I believe, across not just this country, but across the world, that are waving a partial white flag to Jesus. And they're saying this, I love what I love in my own life too much to give it all to you. And therefore what they're saying is, I don't really trust you. But here's the deal. Your life will never be what it needs to be and what it was meant to be unless you do fully surrender. You know, I was thinking through this thought. Missionary James Calvert. When he went to the Fiji Islands, that he got on a ship. As he got on the ship, the captain looked at him and said, you know what? If you go to those islands, you and all who are with you will die. To which he replied, we already died before we got here. See, if you're living today, if you're really in Christ, you've already died. You've died to self, and you've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives within me. Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.